Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I don't even know what it is. On the jersey? Hazy in New York City. Last night in Colorado, in Denver, you had the Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game, and after the Home Run Derby, what a great show that was. The game was a good game. There was a lot of entertaining parts to it, including, of course, the fact that Shohei Ohtani did what we were all waiting to see him do, leads off. Now, he didn't do much with the bat, but still, the fact that he did take some at-bats, but then pitched as well, and so that was something we'd never seen before. But what we always seem to see a lot of times, though, Jay, is we see that some All-Star games, and it's not just baseball, but it happened last night in baseball, where you just ask yourself when you see the uniforms, and the NBA's gone through this too, why? Like, why those jerseys? Why would you pick that design? Well, baseball last night, that was all the talk, not just all the juniors, where it was Guerrero, whether it was Tatis. It was about, of course, the uniforms that they chose to go with. Not the players, but the league did. Did you happen to see them, Jay? And what did you think of them?
I did. I thought they were dope.
You like them?
I thought they were cool. I thought it was like, hey, there's uniformity for, you know, one team versus the other, but also you got a chance to recognize their own individual franchise and who they rep. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. I like when, especially for a sport like baseball, when they try to be a little bit more daring. Right, with stuff like this, because look, you're trying to bring as much attention to the sport as possible, and obviously, I think the sport needs the attention. And there's some really gifted players in there, so I like them trying to change it up and do something different. You didn't like it?
Them jerseys are ugly. They ain't even ugly, man. You. I had to ask Han to tell me what it says on each jersey on the side. Like, No, Jay. You either wear your team's jersey with an all-star patch.
Yeah.
Or you change it up. That's just ugly. They're gross.
Yeah, they
gross.
The logo
even,
and then like look, the initials of the team.
You know, I don't pay attention to social media at all, Jay. Alan asked me about it this morning, and I was like, they're ugly. And because he was saying how social media was just going ham on everything.
Everybody.
And I don't even pay attention
get
to it.
Get off social media, Alan.
But what? That's sometimes that's what you
no.
get how people feel about something. And that's certainly
such a small percentage of people, though.
It might be, but it's still.
You're still gay. You can get a gauge.
You kind of get a pretty good feel for what people think.
They're not cute.
And a lot of people didn't like. Now, again, the pants and the jersey being the same color. White is one thing, but to have the dark pants and the dark jersey, I guess it's blue, you know, that can look a little like a softball uniform, some people said. Some people just felt like the design having, instead of going across the chest with the name.
Yeah, on the side.
Just down the side. The fact, like again. Blue Jays. It was the Blue Jays logo and then T-O-R, Tor, Toronto, right? That's down underneath the logo. It just
bizarre.
People didn't like it. And,
no,
and I just
like
say,
it.
It's a, you know, Key said, well, they do this because they can sell more jerseys. And I'm thinking, who the hell wants to buy that jersey? Like,
well,
maybe you want to be a collector and buy it. That's one thing. But what I'm talking about, you want to sell a lot of them? You want to make it something that would be fashionable.
You're going to sell as many as you can print. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know if you're making your money off it.
However you, many you can manufacture.
But we shouldn't be coming. So again, we shouldn't be coming off this game talking about how ugly the jerseys. What we should be talking about the young stars, you know, who really, you know, looked great in this game. We should be talking about an MVP in Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's you know, the youngest MVP. Where the game's headed, Ohtani, and what he was able to do, and how hey, we finally got to see him because he plays for Anaheim. I mean, talk about Anaheim. Like, here's poor Ohtani, who's an unbelievable story and a great player.
Clearly you've been to Anaheim
great personality.
Before, right?
I love Anaheim as a city. Beautiful.
Lies.
I've been there.
Come on, I love it.
What's wrong with it?
It's the worst.
It's a great mall.
I can say this.
It's a great mall.
Because I'm from California. It's the fake Orange County.
Well, don't say
it's not the worst.
It's not the
it's
worst.
It's the worst.
It's not the worst.
Man, it's the worst, man. Stop.
The worst.
Disneyland, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, the Ontario Airport.
I never really
airport.
Kicked it in Anaheim, so I can't.
No, it's the worst. Disneyland, it's the fake Orange County. As they call it Orange County, right? It's Orange right, County. It's fake. It
let me just get back to the point, though. Major League Baseball has two guys now, and Mike Trout, who's the best player in the game.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. And then Ohtani, who's become what? I mean, what an amazing story. An amazing story what he is. Fun to watch. You can tell he just plays the game with joy, which, again, this whole generation of baseball's young stars, they all have that same way about the game. They all play with joy, which you love. And yet, you know, Anaheim, again, another one of these teams, treadmill team, was just middle of the pack, not terrible, but not great. You know, like if he didn't want to be a Yankee, he didn't want to be a Dodger. This was his choice. But it doesn't help the sport that a guy like him plays in a franchise. I know this is going to sound like a whole New York bias thing. It's not. He chose to play there. So it's no one else's fault, really. But he should be a bigger star, and he's not. And I just blame it on the market.
But I think he could surpass.
And the sport doesn't promote its guys well enough.
I was going to say that, Alan. Anyway. Baseball can promote their best players if they want it to. I mean, look how much the NBA promotes Dame Lillard. Now, Dame is in Portland, but you still see him on so many deals, and the league pushes him. I don't know why MLB doesn't do that more with their own players.
Well, they have struggled. They have struggled in the past at pushing guys. That's true about MLB. But what I would say is he will pass that stigma of the Anaheim Angels or the California Angels, whatever they're called. He will,
whatever it is this month.
Yeah, I don't exactly. He will pass that for sure because of his international appeal, and he's really, really good. If you think about it, and think about Ichiro for a minute. He played in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then what? Then he came to the Yanks. So,
Ichiro was a show, though.
Everywhere
he went, drew crowds.
What do you think Ohtani is?
Yeah, no, he is.
Like, but I only watched some of the – I only watched a little bit of it because of him.
But maybe this is the beginning for Ohtani because he has been hurt. He's had the injuries in the past. This is the first year where all that talk of what he could be, this guy can pitch and he can hit.
But see, you,
he's hitting 33 home runs. He's pitching. This is now the first time we've really gotten to know
him. I got a chance to see him because I've been in L.A. the last several years. True. So I got a chance to really eyeball. Even when he was healthy, though, although he was hurt, I got a chance to really eyeball him a bunch to be able to say, oh, okay, if he can stay healthy, then this is going to be different.
Well, this is, I think, maybe the country is finally getting to see him, and you see him on the big stage of All-Star, and you see him in the Home Run Derby, which got a lot of eyeballs on it as well, is that maybe that's the difference now. Maybe that's when we see him, and now when I see Anaheim on, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, I'm going to tune in and watch it because that guy's a show. You know, maybe this is the beginning of that. Maybe this will start that. But I do kind of feel like the Anaheim thing, I mean, it's Mike Trout, it's always been the story, and now it's with him. They've got two guys that should be the biggest sellers, box office guys in the league.
They don't win, though.
I know.
Well, that's the problem. You need to win.
You got to win. You got to win. You think about it. It's just like the Clipper-Laker effect in L.A. First of all, Orange County is an hour south of Los Angeles, an hour and some change south of Los Angeles, depending on the traffic.
Depending on traffic and how you drive.
And the two teams that are up in L.A. are champions. Not consistently, but enough where they've been recently.
Yes.
Where the Angels, no, nothing. If he was with the Dodgers, it would be a totally different situation. He would then become something even more than what he is right now. The Angels are just the Angels, though. It's like, you got Angel tickets?
Yeah.
Do you want mine? I think I'm going to go to dinner tonight instead. I'm good. That's how it is, and it's like that way for the Clippers, too.
It is, man. Everybody tells me, I've been being told this now for at least a decade, oh, market doesn't matter anymore. Players can market themselves. Players are easy to, you know, they don't need a market to help them. I completely disagree. I think there's very few special players that it doesn't matter the market. I think everybody else benefits from a bigger market or a bigger fan base.
The great thing for him, though, Jay, is because he's an international player and a star.
Exactly.
It'll kick him over the top.
Oh, yeah.
And that part will go away as far as being recognized in Major League Baseball.
There's something cool about Ohtani.
I'll give you an example of this. I mean, obviously, his talent speaks for itself. He's one of the most badass players there is in the entire Major League Baseball, MLB, right? But when I got drafted, I got drafted second behind Yao Ming. Mm-hmm. Now, Yao Ming got voted into be an all-star every single year. It's like that whole region of the world that pays attention to everything that Yao did. I mean, that's an incredible following to tap into and to monetize. So I think that will always elevate on top of, as obviously, you know, more people in the United States become more aware about how special of a talent he is too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So we continue the conversation into the NBA Finals we go. And Vince Carter, VC, joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, VC. How you doing, man?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
All right, good. So off of the Ohtani conversation, which is, again, international appeal for players and popularity, going back to a conversation that we were having earlier and really for most of this week as we're in between games, on Giannis and the, again, another guy that has international appeal, 40-point, back-to-back 40-point games in the finals. He's been an MVP twice. There's a lot of things that he's done in his career. And one thing that seems to become a debate, and a lot of times even players, you know, from your stature as well, former and current players, where it doesn't seem like the same appeal is there towards him and his game, the same reaction. Do you see that? Like, how do you, as a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer, as a guy that's a, you know, was an all-star for many years in the NBA, when you watch him play, do you get that same kind of reaction that you do when you watch a LeBron or a Steph Curry?
I mean, it's just different. Like, but think about those guys you're talking about. So when you think about the game of basketball, you think about three-point shots, Steph Curry, you know, LeBron dunks, even Dame Lillard, three-point shots. So, I mean, it's not the sexy way to play. Yes, Shaq was an MVP. He was dominant, but he was a physical specimen at 300-plus pounds. He says 300, but he's probably 330 or whatever. Nevertheless, you know, Giannis plays hard. He plays in the paint. Not a great three-point shooter yet, but he has earned the respect around the league, which is why he's the two-time MVP. And his game obviously speaks for itself as well. But, you know, I mean, he's marketable because he's a likable guy and he plays hard. It's just not sexy. It's not what you're looking for. But, you know, nevertheless, Milwaukee is still on TV night in and night out and in the playoffs every year. So you're going to pay attention. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just not, like you said, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, those guys that are high flyers or just spectacular player. And I'm not saying he's not a spectacular player because he is and he's proven it. But it's just, you know. It's not the sexy appeal.
Yeah.
BC, can I ask you a question? Because I've been on our show with Alan and Key, and we've been battling this for a while. And I know maybe demeanor-wise, he may not be like Shaq, but don't you feel like when you watch him play, he's like this addition to this generation's like skinny wing version of Shaquille O'Neal with the physicality in which he plays?
Ultra athletic version, you know? He's just, yes. You know, he's super athletic, and he's at his best, in my opinion, when he is in the paint. Like, when he's in the paint, that's when he does damage, you know, to teams. And when he settles, everybody's like, oh, man, why are you shooting? Why are you shooting? And I think they figured it out. Look where they put him, in the paint. Why you think they build a wall? Because they know we want to keep him outside of the paint, and we want to bait him into shooting fadeaway jump shots or three-point shots. So, yes, I think he's the modern-day Shaq. As you know, with his game and how he plays.
VC, given the fact that Coach Budenholzer and the Milwaukee Bucks aren't going to change their approach, I believe, in game four, what is it that the Suns need to do to get Booker going?
You feature him. You feature him. It's plain and simple. He's a superstar, and you need him aggressive. Whether he's making shots or not, you need Devin Booker to be in attack mode. It's the same thing we said about Giannis, you know, in after game one and game two. What does the Bucks need to do? You just get him going. You feature him. And I think Devin Booker is one the same. You get him the ball, and you want him just to be aggressive. Even if he's not making shots, he demands attention because of his ability to make shots. And obviously, if he can get into the mode where, okay, I'm not making shots, but because I'm drawing double teams and attention, I'm going to make plays for other guys who are knocking down shots. And he has the luxury of a guy by the name of Chris Paul, who is playing lights out as well.
While we're waiting for, you know, game four of the NBA Finals, we got ourselves distracted by what was happening with USA basketball and them losing a couple of games. I mean, Nigeria, you lose to a Mike Brown coach team that played very hard. And then they lose to Australia, which caught everybody's attention because of how poorly they executed down the stretch. Anyway, Australia's always been a good team. In fact, the last Olympics, I think they only beat them by 10, so it was a relatively competitive game. They beat Argentina yesterday. Argentina's not a very strong team, but they get a big blowout win over them. What is your level of concern about what they are looking like going into the Olympics? Is it as simple as what Pop was kind of hinting to yesterday, that they really aren't in great shape, and they've got to get in great shape before they get to the Olympics?
Well, I'll say this. Everybody kind of goes towards, look at the roster. I mean, you know, how many teams will they see that's going to feature a big man? Okay, maybe Jokic, maybe Spain with, you know, the Soul brothers, but those guys still shoot the jump shot. And my thing is, they're going to have to defend first and foremost, because I think they got exposed. Yeah, I think Dame Lillard alluded, like, yeah, the three-point line's closer, so guys were coming off and just firing away. We saw that with Nigeria. We saw Patty Mills have a night, and they were hitting three-point shots. And then we started to see Patty Mills getting in the paint, getting layups. Like, this team's just getting into layups. So I think defensively, they have the ability, but they just – that's where the focus needs to be. And I think Pop did one thing that was great. He changed the lineup and putting and he put more scoring in the starting lineup to maybe get them a better start. Because you can implement Draymond Green with any group and things will work. But I felt because they're trying to get their legs under them and kind of get accustomed to the international play, you know, Bradley Beal talked about it being a little more physical. You need some scoring. You need guys that can get you buckets. And then you can kind of go from there.
VC, let me ask you, what do you think what would be the outlook for the Hawks next year? Obviously, I mean, there was so much talent around Trae Young, his explosion onto the scene as a superstar for this team, some of the pieces around like Bogdanovich and, you know, the way, the style in which the team played. What do you see, and what do you look at the Eastern Conference at like next year as well?
You know, what scares me and concerns me with the way, you know, organizations go about now, like if you're going to change your team around, make sure you're upgrading, but that piece complements what you have already or what you're trying to keep. With this nucleus, and just think, they're still going to add Hunter back to this team, so they get better already. They're going to gain a player or two in the draft. But, you know, unless you're bringing in a superstar that fits with what you do, you know, I'm a believer in you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and I think sometimes when you start to tweak it and doing all that, you can hurt your team and hurt your chances because you're kind of adding. Because we look at some of the teams around the league. I mean, you guys know it. You see, you bring in players that all play the same position. For what? They have that. They haven't figured out. It's now all about player development this summer because they've gotten the experience. They were a game or two away from an opportunity of playing in the finals. So now you're just fine-tuning these guys. So they have the knowledge. They have the experience. You just have to get better, because for Trae right now, it's just – How do you get better? You know, you wanted to show that you can score, but that wasn't good enough. Now you show that you can score, but you can get your team involved. You have shooters, you have rebounding, you have shot blocking, you have everything you need. So don't reinvent the wheel now.
VC, before I let you go, man, home run derby or the slam dunk contest, which one is better right now?
Slam dunk contest, man. Come on, man. The slam dunk
only
contest.
If you're in it. That's been come the on, issue, Alan. Man. Only if you're in
no,
it.
No, no, no. I mean,
really,
no, no, no.
Zach Levine?
It's some athletes. I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for. I mean, home run. Like, I mean, I watched Guerrero who hit the ball like 500. That's just insane. But you know, how many guys are going to do that in the dunk contest? You're going to see some. Look at, that's just with ease too. But I mean, you look at. And by the way, Keyshawn, you're right about those jerseys. By the way, ooh wee.
Ugly, right?
The thing about that, and I know I'm off the path, but no. I didn't know. I was like, what did that say?
Yeah, that's the problem.
What did that say?
You don't know what anything says.
To kind of figure it out. It's different. It was just like, you know, what? Oh, okay. By the time you figure it out, they've already gone to, you know, another player or whatever. So, anyway, I just think the dunk contest, you're going to get a lot of guys going to ooh and ah and give you something that you haven't seen. Home run, you're just like, well, who's going to hit it the farthest? Everybody can't hit it that far.
Yeah,
well, everybody can't dunk it. You know, dunk can do everything too. I get it, but you know,
I'll tell you.
Entertainment wise, I'm taking a dunk contest.
All right, now I always would have believed that up until maybe the last couple of years, where it just hasn't had that same appeal. I know I get it. Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine had a great, you know, they had a great Absolutely. Standoff at one point, and that was a lot of fun. But you get you would know better than anybody too. It also means like the Home Run Derby; those are stars. I mean, those are stars participating in that. We don't get that anymore in the NBA. We're getting guys that we don't really know who they are.
It's only been that way.
It's been that way for a while.
Really?
It's been for a while. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, let me think back to just a couple of, I mean, you know, Kobe was in it. You know, everybody wants LeBron to be in it. You know, everybody wants Ja Morant, Zion, and a lot of these guys who have not done it, who we feel that can do it, can translate. Because we can look at a lot of guys in the league who jump real high but aren't creative.
Yeah.
It's a difference. Like being an in-game dunker or a game dunker and then a dunk contest dunker is totally different in my opinion. And, you know, you have to have the creativity and, your imagination has to run wild.
VC
a lot of guys
can do
can't
it
do
in-game,
that.
Well, out-of-game, walking down the street. He was one of them kids that just walked down the street to basketball and see the light post and dunk over it just because.
Yeah, there's a dunk named after him in France that'll live in infamy. You talk about international play. Nobody ever forget that one. And you talk about one that would have – like, I think this, in a slam dunk contest, you really want to get people out of their seats. Instead of jumping over somebody, BC, how about if you told somebody, come try to block this?
Then you put in injuries, Alan. I'm not trying to have.
You're not trying to hurt somebody.
That is a fact.
Yeah, well, BC, I would love to do this.
That would be exciting.
I was going to say, BC, this is Jay Will, by the way. I would love to say I would have the best NBA dunkers against the best non-NBA dunkers and see who wins.
I think he knows your voice by now, Jay.
Well, I know.
By the way, yeah, I do. By the way, I'm gonna say this: the non-NBA dunkers. Let me tell you something. Those guys out there, and they're putting in the work every day doing it. So I think they have the advantage because of that. When you talk about guys playing a season or a half a season going into the All-Star break, and then you're trying to kind of get yourself going. These guys are going on tour, dunking. So they have. What's in their bag is a little different. Now, some of these guys now in the NBA, these young guys have what some of these non-NBA dunkers have because they've watched these guys. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know. You might not see a lot of NBA winners if that happened.
It's special on that circuit. By the way, we've had two North Carolina. We've had two Tar Heels on the show today. VC, you were there with Jeff Saturday was there when you were there, right at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, you guys were there at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah, he was the center. Yeah.
So that's why, you see, why Jay, like, you got to bring that Duke appeal into the show by reminding
him. I love Chapel Thrill. What are you talking
about? Let him know, like, hey, it's Jay Will, by the way. Like,
I love Chapel Thrill.
Jay Will never lost to North Carolina.
Never?
I don't think
That's why I said I'm good. I'm like 7-1. I'm good.
Yeah, he's straight.
All right, but always great to
7-1? Okay.
You had left, BC. I wasn't going against you.
Great to catch up.
Right, I spent all my time at Players, so you know what it is.
Franklin. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Spending that money. Spending that money.
All right, appreciate you, VC. Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right,
guys, be good.
All
right, see you later, VC.
NBA analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers. Will he be in a Packers jersey next season? The question, the beautiful mystery continues. That is coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80. You're wrong if you're Aaron Rodgers. You're wrong if you're the Packers for how you fat-handed this whole thing from the very beginning. I am mad at everybody in this situation. There is no right or wrong here. Everybody's wrong.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Left field, way back and out of here. an absolute no-doubter to left for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Crushed it 468 feet later, and he's flexing, pointing to his bicep as he goes past Tatis and takes his time around the bases.
Don Shambi with the call, ESPN Radio, as Vlad Guerrero Jr. and the American League beat the National League 5-2 in the All-Star game. American League continues its dominant run, won its eighth Midsummer Classic in a row. Vlad Guerrero Jr. steals the show. He had a home run in the third inning, as you just heard there. Captured MVP honors, and at 22 years old in 119 days, Vlad Jr. became the youngest baseball All-Star Game MVP in history. Youngest player to hit a home run in the game since Johnny Bench in 1969. To basketball, where USA Basketball gets a long-awaited, much-needed win over Argentina yesterday, 108-80. Why is it long-awaited? Why is it much-needed? Because they lost two straight exhibition games over the weekend to Nigeria and Australia, causing some concern, but they bounced back with a 28-point win. Second largest by a Greg Popovich coach team, and the largest win in an exhibition game under Popovich.
You happy?
Ask me again at the end of the weekend when they play two more games. Kawhi Leonard had surgery on a partially torn ACL, the Clippers have announced. Leonard was injured during the fourth quarter of Game 4 of the Western Conference semifinals against Utah on June 14th. Missed the final eight playoff games. The team had been calling it a sprained right knee. SportsCenter brought to you by Mako. Scratches, dents, and dings on your car. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako. Head to Mako.com today. But how much longer will he continue to do it? Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn with Key here in the studio. And J. Will joining us from Milwaukee as Four of the NBA Finals is tonight, a game you can hear with coverage beginning 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Of course, we'll have coverage on ABC as well. And the Adam Schefter podcast had Schefty talking about Rodgers most recently, and it got even Key to sort of change his tune about what he thinks.
Can I change my mind again?
Again? Are you going to flip-flop one more time? Well, let's first hear from Schefty as he's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Clearly doesn't want to play for the Packers, but may not have any other options. Take a listen.
The fact of the matter is, the truth is, he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. He hasn't planned to be back in Green Bay. Now, we'll see whether the Packers and him can come up with some sort of compromise that can lure him back there. But I don't believe, and I think Aaron Rodgers knows this, that he wants to be back there, nor plans to be back there at this time. He just hasn't come out and said it. Look, the fact of the matter is he loves his coaches. He loves his teammates. He loves many of the people that he's worked with, but not everybody. We'll see how the Packers handle it. But the one thing I feel very comfortable and confident in saying is Aaron Rodgers does not want to play there anymore. The question is whether they can convince him to do it. And I don't know how that is going to work out.
All right. Before anybody says another word, I cannot believe while Shefty's talking that this is the second time on this show, it's a 4-hour show, that we're playing this. And the first time around, you said you woke up this morning, you heard Shefty, you changed your mind. And as he's talking now, almost 4 hours later, actually, since we played it, you said to me, I changed my mind again.
Yeah, I changed my mind back. I don't think he's going to do it. I just don't.
You just think he's going to sit out?
I think he's going. I go back and forward. Now, I don't have any intimate knowledge. I'm just listening to Shefty, and I'm thinking, what would I do? And I'm listening to Shefty say that compromise. So they've already – so as I'm thinking about this, even prior to Shefty coming on, when we teased it in the last segment, I started thinking, I'm like, they've done everything. Like everything that you could possibly do to get somebody to – come in and do what they need to do to help you win. They're not going to fire the general manager. They're not going to start to set this precedent that this is what we're going to do because the next guy comes along who's their budding superstar may want to do some of the same Aaron Rodgers stuff. And on top of that, it's not about money because he's going to get the money wherever he lands and whenever he goes to another team. So what is the standstill all about? You're not drafting any players that he wants because free agency essentially is over with and draft is over. You can pick up some guys as they get cut during the summer. So I'm trying to really understand what is it about. And as I keep hearing Shefty say, he does not want to play for a team. You know how difficult it is to get somebody to do something that just doesn't want to do it and buy all in to do something? It's hard as hell.
The only way to do it is if he knows that he just – the alternative of sitting out is worse than showing up. Let me just repeat again what Shefty said here in that cut. We will see if the Packers and him can come up with some sort of compromise that can lure him back here. But I don't believe, and I think Aaron Rodgers knows this, he wants to be back there, nor plans to be back there at this time. He just hasn't come out and said it. Jay?
Well, this whole Aaron Rodgers thing is so frustrating to me.
Oh, it's so proper now.
Yeah, I mean, now it's just it's nonstop every single day. And I want to see Aaron Rodgers play. The thing I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around, and I know that the world of a professional athlete is drastically different than every other human being on this planet. But just the $35 million is so much money to me. And
to give
if,
up,
if you're telling me that he could lose out on more than $35 million if he were to say, I don't want to play, my mind is just exploded to the point where I'm like, damn, like that's life-changing money. And I understand he's made money, but that's just in everything else that's happening in today's world, to go to that extreme for a sport that you're playing football, that you love to play. And I know some people may have done you wrong to a degree, but to be that, nah, I don't care about it. That's just, I don't know if I can let that kind of money pass by. I'm not Aaron Rodgers. I get it. But that's why it's so hard for everyday people to understand that he's taking that kind of stance.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the money, though, Jay, because whether he makes up the whatever the number will be ultimately that he may have to pay back if he's not moved and he sits out, he'll make up some of that money with the next team. And he'll be able, I'm sure, to negotiate with the Green Bay Packers what that number is in the end. If it's a $40 million number, they'll negotiate it down, I'm sure. And I'm sure if he's traded, the next team understands that he lost money and they'll try to make it up some type of way. It's hard for me to understand when you say compromise, they've done everything, they've gotten on planes, they've talked to him till they turn blue in the face, and he's continuing to say without saying he doesn't want to be there. Whether it's through Adam Shefty, who I strongly believe the best guy in this business at what he does. He's not throwing things against the wall to hope it stick like most of these guys that have his position at other networks. It doesn't work like that with him. So I'm in belief of that because one thing that's happening, the president and general manager are not going anywhere. They're not firing them.
Well, I think what I take out of Shefty's report here on his podcast is simply Aaron Rodgers hasn't said it yet. Hasn't said anything. Everything that he has said has been very vague.
We'll see.
And the last thing we heard him say was exactly that. Right. Well, you know, a couple of weeks, working out. We'll see where I am. You know, like he's not letting you have anything. And even the jokes during the whole match, process where it was even the build up to it, the media appearances before it, it was Tom Brady making the jokes. And he was just sort of laughing along with it, but leaving it alone, not saying anything. And, you know, his one appearance on SportsCenter was one where he just pointed out about what matters most to him. And he suggested some issues with you know, character, culture, and all those other
but
things.
But those characters
with
the Packers. Those particular characters aren't going anywhere, though, right. that he talked about.
Yeah, that's the point. So I think if I can read through what Shefty's saying, it's sort of like it's time for Aaron Rodgers to say something. And he's going to need to say something pretty soon.
A couple weeks.
He's got to say something.
Yeah.
You know, we got to hear from him before camp opens because if he's not there in day one, well.
Well, you can hear from him as he goes to camp, when he's in camp, if he goes.
Right.
And then if you don't, then you don't.
Are we all fatigued from this story? I mean, are we
I've been fatigued on this. I've been fatigued on it.
And that's where it gets dangerous for him, too, because, like, what did Jeff Saturday say? Is it like, once you're gone, we stop talking about you.
Well, yeah, but that's okay.
We talk about you now because you're not officially gone. But once you're gone, it's like, all right.
But that's okay too, though, because once the season starts and they start off and it's not good, then we're going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers again. And if they start winning, we're going to be talking about, see, they didn't need him.
but you don't want this stuff. I mean, a guy like him, so
yeah, but you're talking
well-loved,
about I know,
talent,
but it's
MVP. Like, this is what you
don't
want
care
now?
Right now. What? Like, when you check out, man, when you check out. Okay, so here's one for you. I'm going to give it to you right now.
Uh-oh.
Here it goes. Hold on one second. Mm-hmm. No, when you check out, as I said to you before, yes. When I, okay. Creating relationship drama is all fun and games until he actually decides to move on. I'm just saying it's.
Jay, why does Key have that saved on his phone, by the way?
Because he sent that to me via text back in the day, and I died laughing, and he's absolutely right.
Yes, you playing all these games until, you know, you creating all this drama. You know what? I'm out. Peace. See you later. I'd rather go deal with this somewhere else. Oh, by the way, that was Jay that just spoke, just in case you wanted to know, Alan.
Hey, man, you guys are up on the screen. It's my voice only. You know, that's what makes sure
VC
knows I was here.
No, it's
just trying to play me, Key.
No, it was just funny.
Jay, this is Alan, by the way.
Yeah, that's Alan.
I got you. I got you.
And we've got Caller Roulette coming up next.
You guys are the worst.
ESPN.
Absolutely the worst.
888-729-3776. I also have to ask Jay, by the way, Jay, it's Alan. I have to ask an important question from, of course, a Knicks perspective.
Oh, God.
That needs to be answered, and I need answers next. So that's coming up. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 8.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Give me a New York cheesecake. They have other cheesecake. They don't have to be a New York cheesecake.
It's just the cut. It's the cut.
Oh, you called it. You wanted a New York. You said the New York steak is the best New York.
Just,
you said New York steak is the best steak in the world. It doesn't have to be a New York
steak. Who said
that? I didn't say it, Jay.
We were talking about steak, and he's talking about New York steak.
I did not
first thing
say
came
that.
Out of his mouth.
Who says
oh,
who
New
says
York
that,
steak?
Who says New York steak, though? I don't think Alan would say that.
I didn't say that.
He New York cheesecake, New York. I get it. Not New York steak, though, Keith.
Can I,
he did
what?
Say New York steak.
You know what? Before we get to Caller Roulette, let's go to the complaint department.
Complaint department?
I like checking our Twitter handle here, KJNZ.
Hello, complaint department.
And, so Matt said, can we please stop with Key's lists? They're downright horrible.
What?
Your list was almost exactly what Fowler's list was.
So what? So
it's
my
horrible.
List is horrible because I took Tyreek Hill out.
Yeah. And also nepotism.
My nephew
nepotism,
is one. Of, my
yeah,
nephew
Michael
is
Thomas.
One of the highest paid receivers, top three receivers in the damn
Listen,
league.
Listen, Matt.
And
we'll
love to get him on the show.
Well, Matt's an idiot, so I don't care what Matt says.
How about?
We'd love to have Michael Thomas
don't
on the
listen.
Show sooner or later.
Hey. There's other devices and streaming and everything else you can listen to, Matt. You ain't got to listen to me.
How about Joey?
Hey, Mike, if you want to come on the show, Keyshawn's here.
He always call in. I give the number all the time. Hey, so Joey said, man, listen to you guys talk baseball. It's painful. You're literally part of the problem because the discussion you're having is always the discussion. Always the narrative. Change it. Be better. So the discussion.
So how many likes does he have on his social media?
None.
Okay.
But
so much for that.
Wait, Jay, you went to Duke. The,
I went to USC. What does that mean?
The discussion
where
you're
are we
having,
going?
Well, because you can decipher
he
this.
Walked around Duke? Is that what you're trying to say?
I breathe Duke air, so that means I'm ready to have this discussion. Go ahead.
So the discussion you're having is always the discussion. What is that? That's like
I don't
if
know
you
what that
diss
means.
Dre, you diss yourself. Like, what does that mean?
I
the
don't
discussion
know,
you're having is always a discussion.
That's probably the same guy that will tell you,
I need help with that.
He doesn't like the show.
The ceiling
he's
is
not
the
listening
roof.
And all that, but yet still he's listening.
I will say this, though. Pat did say he likes the argument that we made that the NBA does a better job marketing than Major League Baseball, who was a huge fan of the Warriors before Steph Curry came along. His ability is marketable. The same can be said about Shohei. Major League Baseball is missing a golden opportunity.
I want to go back to the dude that didn't like my list.
Of course you do.
Man, I do.
That's why you stay off social media.
Because he doesn't like my list. What's his list? Who does he want on there?
Well, he listens, but he's listening for your list. He's not listening for his list.
Yeah, but I want to know his list. Who he going to put on there? Because I can only imagine who he going to put on there.
Okay. Although I will add this, Kentucky
Statistical
Sports.
Statistical freak.
Yeah. It's KY Sports Radio Sucks is what he has. That's his name. I'm just saying it. He said listening to Keyshawn talk about jersey numbers is pretty thick considering he wore number 19, which ranks up there with numbers like 52, 69, 86 as the most swagless numbers of all.
Is that why so many receivers follow me wearing 19? I don't even – see, another take that makes no sense.
It's great.
Key, always one of the highest media get to you,
one
Key.
Of the highest selling jerseys the entire time I
Key,
played in the National Football League.
Don't let social media get to you.
No, it's not getting
stay
it's
off
not getting
social media.
Hey, I'm not on social media. I'm just responding. I like responding to fans that listen to our show, but then they don't listen to our show because we're not very good at what we do, but they listen to our show, then they tweet at the show telling us how they're not listening to the show anymore.
Brooklyn DH says we crack him up every morning.
That's what we're supposed to do. It's a morning show.
That's
what I don't want
about.
You to fall asleep at the wheel.
It's supposed to make you react. Whether you hate us or love us, you feel something, and that's what matters.
All right,
before we get to
roulette.
Calls, though, Jay, I got to ask you, though. Jay. Colin Sexton to the Knicks is a rumor. What do you think of that?
Who are the Knicks giving up?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, Knicks fans are like, yeah, we'll give up, you know, Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox. But they might have to give up one of their first round picks in this kind of thing, and then you got to pay Sexton. Remember, he's at the end of his rookie deal. How do you feel about him as an upgrade?
I like Colin Sexton. I just don't know if that fits into the Knicks and the way they like to go. But I don't know. It feels like no matter what moves the Knicks make, like I'm still waiting for that move, Alan.
Yeah, the one that makes you go, okay. Like, right?
Like
the
it,
one
all
that
these other moves, ancillary pieces, I like to put together a team, but you're still waiting for that move.
That's how I feel the same way. This one doesn't move me. And but he's a CAA guy, so you know the connection's already there.
Y'all
all right, let's
Kuz?
Go.
Y'all want Kuz?
Call the relay. You're ready to give me
Kyle. Wait, Keith, who's swaggy is worn 19?
Line 4, please.
Who's DJ Cuzzo out of Georgia.
What's up?
Is Giannis scoring 40 points tonight? Mm. And who was the greatest point guard come out of Duke University? That's at Jay Will.
Well, Jay, you got an answer? Jay Will, the greatest point guard to come out of Duke. I'm going to defend that off the top. I understand they had Johnny Dawkins and Bobby Hurley and some other dudes, but in all honesty, not because he on my show, that was the coldest dude to come out of Duke at that position.
Yeah, no.
I know. Kyrie's a bad boy.
Well, he didn't really come out of Duke, though, like that. Jay,
he
had like four games.
It was 11 games. I don't care.
Does he even know what a McDonald's is at on y'all campus? I mean, like, come on, man, stop. You know what I'm saying.
He owned a couple of McDonald's on campus.
He probably does. I'm sure. And then now, how about Giannis go for another 40 tonight? That'd be three in a row.
I think he gets close, man. I think he gets close. I don't think they have a person that can stop him. But, I mean, if you're Coach Bud, do you let Giannis get his buckets and you try to hinder Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday?
I know the first time he take a three, I'm going to tell him to come sit by me if I'm the coach.
Spin it.
Hey, man, come over here, man. Sit right here for a minute.
Sit right here.
Yeah, sit
I told you not to shoot a three. You sound like my college coach. Line 2.
Hey, y'all, this is Melon Jersey, man. I just want to say, man, I'm losing my mind over here. I'm getting so frustrated that the big man is becoming a dangerous species in the NBA. I remember when Houston got their butt handed to him by L.A. with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Then we come over here. I'm a Nets fan. I believe if we had a big man, we'll be in the playoffs. We'd probably win the title. Look at DeAndre Ayton. Look at Brook Lopez and Clint Capella. And now we go overseas and we get embarrassed by people overseas, 54 points in the paint. Why? Because we don't have a big man. Please bring the big man back.
I'll tell you what. I miss the big man too, but the Nets only lost because of injuries and because Kevin Durant was wearing one shoe size too high. If he wore a regular shoe, they would have probably gotten to the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a three. He knocks down a three. That game's over. Jay, that game is over. You know it.
I was the one that said it, Alan. But, you know, look, the Bucks are here, so I'm over all that.
Where's that dude tonight? I need to find him. Talk to him personally.
Jay, prediction. I say Suns win.